Beautiful people, it's time for a new episode. I got some feedback, so I'm gonna do my best to incorporate it. Anyway, today's topic is Typhoid Mary. I'm sure some of you have heard about her, particularly if you listen to And That's Why We Drink. Christine actually covered her one day, but I'm going to do less the murder aspect and more of the bioethic aspect. So here's my sources: Britannica.com and NationalGeographic.com. There was one on the NCBI website, but it didn't seem terribly professional. There were names were misspelled, so I actually did some double checking. I mean, not that I don't do double checking, but I did extra double checking on this one. So hopefully, it sounds good and makes sense. So, a little bit of background on Mary Malone, which is Typhoid Mary's actual name. She immigrated from Ireland in the US to, sorry, she immigrated from Ireland to the US in 1883. She basically worked as a domestic servant, mainly as a cook. Now, it's unknown when she became a carrier of typhoid. Here's a quick lesson on typhoid. It is a type of salmonella, typically spread through food and water, particularly things that have been contaminated with fecal matter. Symptoms include high fever, diarrhea, and sometimes results in delirium and death. Also, this is why you need to wash your hands. It's very important to wash your hands, particularly when you're dealing with food. Anyway, in 1906, while Mary was working for a family in Long Island, 6 of the 11 of the household got sick with typhoid fever. So Soper was a civil engineer who had actually become an expert in sanitation, particularly in regards to typhoid fever. Soper believed typhoid could be spread by one person being a carrier, and eventually he ended up focusing his attention on Mary. Apparently, she was making like the landlords who had rented out this home to that family hired George Soper to investigate. Because they're like, what the heck happened? Why are all these people sick? Fresh ice cream with peaches? And that's what was employee. Patron, whatever term you want to use. The family she was working for, she would give them fresh ice cream with fresh peaches, and they would get sick because you're not using heat to kill the bacteria. All right, back to Soper. It actually ended up taking him 4 months and another family later to confront her about it. When he asked her for urine and fecal samples, she refused, and she may have attacked him with a carver fork. I only saw that in one place. It's a fun story if it's true. So there's a little disclaimer. Now we have Dr. Josephine Baker, who was brought into this. She was also sent to ask Mary for samples, and Mary refused again. Don't know if that involved a carver knife as well. So she was sent to ask Mary for samples. Mary says no, which is fair, really, because I believe at this time no one's explaining anything to her, which is a big deal. Anyway, eventually, Mary is basically captured and committed to Riverside Hospital on North Brother Island, which is, I believe, just off of Long Island, infecting her. She was quarantined in a small house on the grounds, and this is where she tests positive for typhoid. She was finally able, well, not she, the doctors were finally able to get some samples. And I don't think she was very cooperative. So she was basically asymptomatic, which means you don't show any symptoms. So she didn't even believe she had typhoid. And again, it sounds like no one explained anything to her, let alone the significance of being a carrier. Instead, They're just like, hey, let's remove your gallbladder. Because that will fix everything. It's like you can't just go up to someone and be like, hey, let's take out your gallbladder. Like, no, I need to know why, thank you, I'm using it. Mary said no, understandably, because no one's explaining anything, so she's not making informed consent. Big, big thing. All right, so in 1909, this is 3 years after the Long Island family, the New York American dubs her Typhoid Mary, and the name sticks. Mary writes a letter to her lawyer after this, which reads, and I quote, I have been, in fact, a peep show for everybody. Even the interns had to come to see me and ask about the facts already known to the whole wide world. The tuberculosis men would say, there she is, the kidnapped woman. Dr. Park has had me illustrated in Chicago. I wonder how the said Dr. William H. Park would like to be insulted and put in the journal and call him or his wife Typhoid William Park. End quote. She ends up suing the New York City Department of Health, and the case is brought to the Supreme Court. And her lawyer's like stance basically, or defense, her lawyer's defense is Mary had been imprisoned without due process, which is basically true. This whole thing ends up sparking a debate over an individual's autonomy and the state's responsibility in a public health crisis. The court, however, denies her release, stating it must protect the community against a recurrence of spreading the disease. But Mary is released early in 1910 by the city's new health commissioner on the condition she stop working as a cook. So, let's take a quick break and figure out how well that goes for Mary. So, Mary does not stop cooking, but this is because she doesn't have a lot of other skills and she still doesn't believe she's a danger. She actually ends up working for a hotel, a Broadway restaurant, a spa, and a boarding house under the name Mary Brown. Now, in 1915, an epidemic broke out in a Newfoundland sanatorium, which is in New Jersey, and at Manhattan, New York's Sloan Maternity Hospital. So when that happens, Soper is once again called to investigate. He finds out that Mary has worked at both places. Something's happening outside my recording studio closet. It's either my husband or it's my dogs. Hopefully it's not an axe murderer. So once she's found, she is sent back to North Brother Island. She stays there for the rest of her life, dying in 1938 from complications from a stroke she had 6 years earlier. And sadly, only 9 people attended her funeral. Here's some statistics from both of the outbreaks that she was involved in. At least 51 caught typhoid through Mary, and 3 died. There was 22 from 1900 to 1907 was when she was working for the various families. I think she ended up working for 7 families at that time. And 25 were at the maternity hospital. And unfortunately, Mary was the only carrier treated this way. By the time she died, more than 400 people were identified as carriers, and none of them were forced into quarantine. Now, there are unethical aspects on both sides. So, on Mary's side, she continued to work, exposing her employers and patients/patrons. It's true that she didn't believe she was a danger, but the only reason she was released the first time was she was told not to work as a cook. And the fact that she ignored that stipulation and continued to work, or yeah, continued to cook for other people is not good. However, the health department basically spirited her away into isolation and didn't explain anything. That's a big no-no, particularly like if you are knowledgeable of such things. You can't just pluck someone off the street and hide them away for all eternity, basically. And they allowed her to be a test subject and a peep show, as Murray put it. So yeah, not good. That was not a shining time for the U.S. Health Department, basically. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed that. And again, I'm Ren Shepherd, and this is why we can't have nice things.